Stand with me. We are going to be going through John 16, verses 12 to 15, just four verses this evening, a lot packed in those verses. I think we're going to be blessed tonight as we go through these verses, as the Apostle John writes of Jesus, as Jesus continues to speak on this evening as he celebrated the Passover meal with his apostles. And he's been speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to continue this in this passage, speaking of the Spirit of God. Follow along as I read from the New King James Version of God's Word, if you would. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Father, we do ask that you would give us understanding of these words through your Holy Spirit as you pour him out upon each one of us, each one of our hearts, Lord, and upon this place, this room. Lord, teach us. Lead us into your truth, even as Jesus speaks of your Spirit. Lord, have your way. Might we leave from this place with a better understanding of the Holy Spirit with us, who he is, and his role in our lives. And may we entrust ourselves to him to accomplish those roles and those purposes. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us through your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You guys may be seated. Now, last week, as we looked at the end of chapter 5 and the first 11 verses of this, chapter 15, excuse me, and the first 11 verses of the 16th chapter, we see that Jesus spoke about the fact that the Holy Spirit will testify of him at the end of chapter 15, and that the apostles will bear witness of Jesus. And in verses 8 to 11 here in this 16th chapter, Jesus taught about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to an unbelieving world, that he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus had told the apostles that they would be persecuted and even killed. And yet, the Lord, of course, would be with them. Now, before we tackle this particular passage, I do want to do something very related. I want to take a little more further look into who the Holy Spirit is. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, we see Peter speaking to Ananias, who had lied to the apostles about selling a piece of property, and he said that he would give them the entire proceeds, but he didn't. He held some of it back. And so Peter addresses him, and in verse 3 of chapter 5 of Acts, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Now, my purpose in looking at that verse tonight is to see that in that third verse, Peter said to Ananias that he had lied to the Holy Spirit. In the fourth verse, he said, "You've not lied to men, but you've lied to God." So we see Peter equates God and the Holy Spirit And so we see the reality that the Holy Spirit is God. And being God, the Spirit has the attributes of God. He's omnipresent. We see in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 8, David writes, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." So the Spirit being God here as well, and with the attribute of omnipresence. We see that he is also eternal. Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The eternal Spirit. He's omniscient. He knows all things. 1 Corinthians 2:11. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." He is a person, of course, one of the three persons of the Godhead. Romans 15:30, Paul writes, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." So there we see that he has a quality of a person in that he loves, the love of the Spirit. And we also see that he speaks, sending and anointing and appointing ministers. Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." Acts 13:2, "As a minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Spirit for the work to which I have called them." So we see that the Holy Spirit has this role within the church in the book of Acts of speaking to those who he is directing. The apostles, Philip, of course, as well, in that eighth chapter. He has emotions. Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." So the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be saddened. And we are instructed not to do so. In John 14:26, we see, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So we see that he teaches, and we also see that he intercedes. Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So it's nice to know, isn't it, that not only, I mean, in several passages we see that Jesus intercedes for us, the Spirit does as well. The Holy Spirit intercedes unto the Father on our behalf. So we see the reality of the personhood and the deity of the Holy Spirit. Now, here in verse 12 of John 16, as Jesus continues to speak, he says to the apostles, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." It would seem that even as Jesus had been telling the apostles that he was going to be leaving, he was going to be going to the Father, of course, it was time for him to go. As you see this, these words here in this 12th verse, I think it's safe to say that Jesus had spoken to them all that he could up to this point. But he did have a lot more things to say. So he wasn't finished speaking everything to the apostles that he wanted to speak to them. But as he says here, "Got a lot of things to say, guys, but you just can't bear them right now. Can't bear them yet." Sometimes we talk about information overload. I think in this case, Jesus is speaking about revelation overload. You know, and it is just simply a fact. You guys know this. We all have experienced this. We can only take in so much at a time. We can only take in so much at a time. Even as these apostles, you simply could not handle more. It's the same with us. Jesus has a lot more to say to them, but he can't yet. But he is going to be using the Holy Spirit to speak. Note here that Jesus said, I still have many things to say. In the book of Acts, first chapter, first verse, we see that Luke, the writer of Acts, wrote this, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, that's an interesting thing that Luke writes there, and we see that he speaks of the former account, which was the Gospel of Luke. He said that he wrote of all that Jesus began to do and began to teach. Very consistent with what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 16. A lot more things to say. And what Luke writes would also include a lot more things to do. But Jesus said, I've got a lot more things to say to you. You can't handle it right now. Luke had said, Jesus started speaking the things that he had to speak and doing the things that he would do, the works that he would do in his lifetime here on earth, but there is more. Jesus began it in the gospel accounts, and we will see that Jesus continues his works through the book of Acts, through the men whom he had chosen as apostles by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you've got your Bible in your laps, if you turn to Acts chapter 1, the beginning of Acts, and you see the title of the book of Acts would say, The Acts of the Apostles. I think a much clearer and accurate title, be a longer title, but a more accurate title would be the Acts of Jesus, or maybe the continuing acts of Jesus through the apostles by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really what took place in the book of Acts, right? But God tells us in these passages that they are the works and the words of Jesus as the Spirit indwells these apostles and others in the book of Acts and uses them, empowers them, and speaks through them the things that he wanted to speak and doing, performing the miracles that he wanted performed to bring blessing to the people that they had encounters with. So Jesus had more to say, but he does say, just not yet, because you just simply cannot handle it at this time. And then verse 13, we see Jesus saying this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So Jesus just says, you know, guys, I got a lot more to say, but you can't bear it right now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will tell you. And he's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. But whatever he hears, he's going to speak. He doesn't say things on his own authority, but whatever he hears, and in context, really what Jesus is saying, whatever he hears from me, he's going to speak. And he's going to also tell you things to come. So a couple of things that we see taking place there by the Holy Spirit. Now, Once again, we see that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. Well, that's an important thing for us to constantly acknowledge. You know, we normally refer to him as the Holy Spirit, as if Holy Spirit isn't an awesome enough title. I mean, if the Holy Spirit lives within you and me, dwells within you and me, then we ought to be, because of him in our lives, within us, be living a holy life, right? He is the Holy Spirit. He also is the Spirit of Truth. And if that same Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth, dwells in us, lives in us, then we ought to be people of truth. We ought to be known for our truth-telling. Not for our lying, certainly, but for our truth-telling. And that certainly is one of the things that ought to be taking place in the life of a believer who perhaps, before he came to Christ, was a liar and was known as a liar. No more. Not once the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, begins to take residence in that individual. But this is speaking in terms of the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Truth. While that would be the case, this is more related to speaking to our hearts the truth of God. We receive truth by the Holy Spirit. We read the Word of God, which is the Word of Truth. Your Word is truth. Jesus told, spoke to the Father in his prayer in John chapter 17. Your Word is truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? And we have the Spirit of Truth. I mean, that's a lot of truth, a lot of sources of truth. But in reality, there is one source of truth. It is God himself, and all three persons within the Godhead are involved in bringing truth to us. And as it is the Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts, he speaks of things to us from from Jesus himself. Of course, God's Word is truth, but it is the Holy Spirit who gave us God's Word, as he inspired men to write it. Then he is with us to help us to understand that truth. And so there really is no reason that we ought to not know truth as it relates to God and spiritual things, the things that are of the Lord. Warren Wiersbe writes this. He says, when you compare John 14:26 with 16:13, which we just read, you see the wonderful way that God arranged for the writing of the New Testament scriptures. The Spirit would remind them of what Jesus had taught them. This gives us the four Gospels. The Spirit would also guide them into all truth, and this would result in the epistles. He will show you things to come, referring to the prophetic scriptures, especially the book of Revelation. All that of the Spirit. Now, we just read John 16:13, but a reminder of John 14:26. We read this a little while ago, actually. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And he continues to bring remembrance of all the things that Jesus said. As we know that he spoke those things within the Gospels. Yet there were other occasions in the book of Acts, for example, when the Lord would speak to somebody. He spoke to the Apostle Paul while he was in Corinth. And of course, he speaks in the book of Revelation as well. But everything that Jesus speaks, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance. You know, last week we did talk about the Holy Spirit's role in bringing us the Word of God. I alluded to it just a moment ago, but just to remind you, a couple of verses that apply to that. 2 Peter 1:21 says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That is how God's Word came to us. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit. And Paul, writing to Timothy, gives a little bit more insight into that in chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The literal Greek there is all Scripture is God-breathed. And, of course, the word breathe or breath, it speaks of the Spirit. It is God breathed by the Spirit into the life of man. And so certainly we have God's life breathed into us by the Spirit. We become born again. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, takes residence within us. Which again, you know, we can get so used to that idea. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's in me. That we can easily lose the wonder of it. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Really? I know me. I know my thoughts. I know I know what I do. He wants to live inside of me. He wants to live inside of me. He's not just wanting to help me out. Oh, yeah, he's called a helper. But he wants to have fellowship with me. He wants intimacy with me. He lives inside of me. He lives inside of you. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, it's one of the craziest things that exists in this world, that God would choose to live in sinners. He saves us and changes us, but we've still got that old man inside of us that we have to deal with and lives inside of us. It's just a crazy, crazy thing, but that's what he has done. It's just amazing what God has done. And so as we see here, looking again at this 13th verse, that the Spirit is going to guide the apostles into all truth, as we've already spoken and all. And Jesus, in essence, the Holy Spirit, in all of this, reveals the person of Jesus and his work through the Word of God. That's how the Holy Spirit reveals God to us, reveals Jesus to us, I should say. Who, by the way, also we know that Jesus had told Philip, you know, that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So seeing Jesus, we see God. Through the Word of God, Jesus is revealed. He places His Holy Spirit within us to make us more like Jesus so that Jesus can be seen in us. And we just see how that all works together. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that we see there. And, you know, we talked about how the apostles could not yet handle the things that Jesus needed, wanted to continue to say, but couldn't yet. But as I alluded, we all have gone through that. You know, you can read a passage. You've read a passage for many times. And then you see something, the Holy Spirit just kind of quickens your heart, your mind, and you see something that you've never seen before. Or maybe, you know, you're listening to a teaching and something is said that you've never seen or heard from that passage before, but your spirit bears witness with it, it's consistent with it. And you're going, I've read this so many times, I don't know why I never saw that. And it's not an intellectual exercise, is it? The revelation of God is not an intellectual exercise. He uses the intellect, but it's a spiritual thing. God reveals himself through the Holy Spirit to our spirit. And so we begin to understand him. We begin to see him. And that's what Jesus is speaking about here in this particular passage. And note also that we see here that the Spirit is not going to speak on his own authority. It is his role to reveal Jesus. Also here, and we'll see this in just a moment, that his role is to glorify Jesus. It's another one of his roles. But on this point of not speaking on his own authority, within the Godhead, really the Holy Spirit only does those things that he's directed to do. And yet, we see through the book of John a number of times Jesus himself alluding to the fact that Jesus spoke the same thing. He only did the thing that the Father directed him to do. John 5:19, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Then in the 30th verse of chapter 5 there in John, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." But it sounds an awful lot like what we are instructed to do through the Word. You know, Jesus didn't seek his own will, but the Father's will. We're not to seek our own will, but Jesus' will for us. Right? I mean, we see the chain of authority taking place here. John 8:28, Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." So time and again, we see Jesus speaking about these things. One more time, verse 49 of chapter 12. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." So even as the Spirit of God speaks the things that Jesus gives to him, he does so even as Jesus has spoken the thing that the Father had given to him. "Now, whatever he," the Holy Spirit, "speaks or hears, he will speak," Jesus said, finally, in this verse. He also is going to speak things to come, which speaks of prophetically. But on this issue of whatever he hears, he will speak, we just see this reality that we've been explaining, that the Spirit never says anything apart from the Father or the Son. And so we see their intimacy with one another. We see in terms of them giving truth, it's always the same truth because it's always the same source. We see that there is no change in anything. There's this unity among the Godhead, among the Trinity, tri-unity, right? And so we see that in terms of the Word of God, we see that in terms of truth, and anything that, whether it's the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit saying it, it's all going to come from that perspective. It's never going to change. And so, there is no new truth. There will never be a new revelation that comes. Now, we hear from time to time in some areas of the church, some segments of the church, that that kind of thing does take place. It doesn't. Now, there may be a new revelation for me because I had not known this yet, but it's nothing new in terms of God's Word, in terms of what he's revealed through the Scriptures, right? So that's that thing that we were talking about. You know, we read the Scriptures. We don't we We don't catch all of it because we're not ready for all of it, but later on we catch some more, and later on we catch some more, and so forth. That just speaks of the progression of revelation for us on a personal level, simply because of our ability spiritually to take in those things. But again, there's never any new truth. And if there's anything that, and I would encourage you guys this, you know, of course, if we're reading God's word and he says something, and we see God saying something that we'd never seen before, we're right there in God's word, so there it is. But anytime we do receive something that's new for us, I didn't know that. I didn't catch that. You know, I would encourage you to be like the Berean church, that if you hear something from somebody, whether it's me, some other teacher, whomever it may be, and you've never actually understood that or said, oh, I didn't know that. I never thought of it that way. Check the scriptures, like the Bereans. You know, and in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, you know, Luke writing of the Bereans said they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. They received it. They were anxious to hear it. They wanted to receive it. But even as they did, Luke continues to write, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so we find the Holy Spirit commending the church in Berea, the people of Berea. The church was just about to be formed. The people of Berea, the Jews in Berea, because they searched the scriptures on a daily basis to see if what the Apostle Paul was saying is really scriptural or not. And if those folks were commended by God's Spirit for checking out the Apostle Paul, we better be doing that for anybody that we might hear. You guys need to do that when you hear me speak from the pulpit. Make sure that what I'm speaking is scripturally accurate. I do my best to divide the word rightly, but I can make a mistake. I can perhaps not check something out that I should check out or whatever, but we all need to be faithful in that. Now in verse 14, we see Jesus saying, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify me. So again, as I mentioned before, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. And so anytime that we might, in our prayer unto the Lord, if we are encouraged in reading the scriptures to do all things unto his glory, right? That's only going to happen when the Holy Spirit is active in us to do so. It is the Holy Spirit's role to glorify God. Can you or I glorify God? Yes, we can, but it is the Holy Spirit doing it through us. We need to have that desire. You know, and we love the Lord, and that's what we want to take place, right? We want to glorify him. But it is the Spirit's work in us and through us that accomplishes that. And we must be aware of that. I think we can often leave the Holy Spirit out of the picture when it's actually his particular role to accomplish what we want to see done. We might leave the work to Jesus or leave the work to the church or whatever, but it's got to be the Holy Spirit doing the work. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for that particular purpose, and so we see he is going to bring glory to Jesus. And Jesus went on and said, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now in relation to this, F.F. Bruce writes this, speaking of course of the Holy Spirit. He and no other will teach the disciples everything. as we saw in 14:26. He will bear witness to Christ, 15:26. He will expose the world's error, chapter 16, verse 8, as we see that particular role being fulfilled, convicting the world. And in verse 13, as we see here, he will guide the disciples in the way of all truth. And then in verse 14, glorifying Jesus. As the Son has glorified the Father by his work on earth, so the Spirit by his coming will glorify the Son. So several of those verses we looked at already. Verse 26, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. Of chapter 14. Chapter 15, 26, he will testify of me. John 16, 8, convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 13, of course, guide you into all truth. And verse 14, glorifying the Lord Jesus. These are the roles, the work of God's Spirit in our world today. Through us, through the church, but that's the work that he is going to do. For the most part, most of those things taking place through the church. And he will take of what is mine and declare it to you, he said. As I've explained, you know, everything that Jesus did, he did because it was of the Father to do that. In the first part of John 13, in the third verse, John writing before, this is just before the passage on Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Now, all things have been given to Jesus into his hand by the Father. And we see in John chapter 14, verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. It is Jesus who gave, the Father who gave Jesus works to do. It's the Father who gave Jesus words to speak. He gave all things into the hands of Jesus. Not just simply things that he would do and things that he would speak, but everything that exists were given into the Lord Jesus' hands. And that's a very powerful truth. And as the Father gave Jesus all things, it is Jesus who gives the Holy Spirit to basically execute things in this world through the church, as he did in the book of Acts and has continued to do for the last nearly 2,000 years. Now, there are always questions asked, like, you know, if the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit who worked then, if Jesus has never ever changed, and basically from God's perspective, it's all the same, what's going on in terms of how we do not see things taking place within the church the today in the same way we see it in the book of Acts? You know, I think I would say basically, well, we do. We see evangelism taking place. Now, obviously, it's going to be different than, you know, on the day of Pentecost when Peter gave the very first Christian sermon that wasn't given by Jesus, and 3,000 souls got saved. Then he spoke in the next chapter, and there were 2,000 more. 5,000 had already been added to the church. Now, those were some unique times, but let's keep in mind, we can sit down and read the entire book of Acts. We just read through it in an hour and a half or two, maybe, which comprises over 30 years of time. You know, so as we read it, you know, this miracle's happening, that miracle's happening, that miracle's happening. And it's like, well, it wasn't quite like that. You know, we can read and six miracles take place as we read two chapters or three chapters, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, why don't we see this? Well, we do. We see miracles happening. We see people getting saved, evangelism taking place. The church is doing its work. Now, there's a reality to the fact that, you know, on those very first days, the influence of the world had not entered into the church like it had today. So that's a factor. I mean, we've had nearly 2,000 years of history since the church began, right? And we understand about spiritual warfare. And we see how the doctrines of the world have infiltrated into the church. In fact, toward the end of that first century, we saw that taking place. I mean, read the epistles that were in of the New Testament. A lot deals with false doctrine. So within the first 30, 40, 50 years, that was taking place and having an impact. But the Holy Spirit still is active. And I think that a part of what takes place within the church, there are sections of the church who don't believe that the Holy Spirit does today what he did in the book of Acts. In terms of today the cessationists who not believing in the work of the Spirit, not believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being a second experience with the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, he does give gifts and they believe God heals, but they don't believe, a cessationist will say, I believe that God heals, I just don't believe that a particular person can have the gift of healing. That's what they'll say. And certainly, I have seen, and I'm sure many of you have seen as well, praying for somebody, laying a hand on somebody, and seeing them healed. I have seen praying for people and tumors being removed miraculously. You know, one day it's there, and then they go for another exam, and then it's gone, you know. Have you guys seen those kinds of things? I mean, God still does miracles. He does these works, you know. So let's be careful about those kinds of things. And I think the different doctrines that are within the church, as I was speaking about cessationists, we have to be careful about those things. You know, we just need to take care. And I think that at times, because of those kinds of things, we can become, and certainly certain sections of parts of the church can become, like what we see in the Gospels when Jesus returned to Nazareth, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's in the book of Mark that Mark writes that Jesus could not do many works there because of unbelief. If you don't believe the Holy Spirit's going to do something, he won't. Now, there are times that he will. He's not limited by our faith. But as that passage says, Jesus could not do many works there because of unbelief. That's a very, very intriguing truth that took place there. And I think a question for us would be, does that happen with us? Does it happen with me? You know, we need to be asking those questions. Well, Jesus had all things given to him, as we saw in John 13:3. And he does things and spoke things from the Father's, that the Father had given to him to do and to speak. And so we see that basically, Jesus' words were his Father's words, and Jesus' deeds were his Father's deeds, and all things have been given to Jesus. And even as Jesus is giving to the Holy Spirit those things that are his and declaring it to us, declaring it through the Word of God, through the New Testament, of course. But we see the things that the Holy Spirit says and that he does through the book of Acts and that he continues to do even today. These are things that are of Jesus, because Jesus said the Spirit is going to take of what is his and declare them. So really what we see taking place today, we do see the work of God's Spirit through the church, but they are works of Jesus. And because they're works of Jesus, they're works of God, because God gave everything to Jesus, and Jesus is giving them to the Spirit. Again, the unity of the Godhead working in this, in the church today, working in our world today, whatever may be taking place. I just think it's just a very, very cool thing to see that. You know, anything that Jesus ever said or did was from the Father, and anything that the Spirit says or does is from Jesus. And just remembering that truth as is declared here in the book of John in this part of it. One last comment from F.F. Bruce. He wrote, "In making known the Son, the Spirit at the same time makes known the Father, who is revealed in the Son, as we already touched on, as we know." And so the unity of God, his work being done by the Spirit, given things by Jesus, who was also given things by the Father. So nothing that, no truth is outside of the Father, though it's spoken by the Spirit through those who wrote the Word of God. He's a Spirit of truth. So all these things are so important for us to remember, I think, in the way that God functions within the church today. Just powerful, powerful truths. So might he work in us. So even as we might say, Jesus, do this, Father, do that, we're asking the Holy Spirit at the same time to do it, because it's as if in our world, it goes from the Father to Jesus and then to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit executes it all in our world. Does that make sense? He's the executor, if you will. But he's the one that, let's not confuse that with the executionist, okay? Executor. But of course we had Ananias and Sapphira, right? Anyway. he just executes what God wants to have done. So whatever's taking place in your life and mine, it is the work of the Spirit, as given by Jesus, which had come from the Father. And Father,